Well, you're all very good timekeepers. Thank you very much, and you're very welcome. For anyone who doesn't know, my name is Leanne, and you have come to the seminar of Christ-glorifying friendship. So if that's not the right one, feel free to leave now. Exit here and an exit here. Okay, let me give you a run through of what to expect. So we're going to have some time for thought together and some discussion and interaction. Then I'm going to lead us through some biblical principles where we'll look at what the Bible has to say about friendship. And then we will seek to apply those together as we think about our individual contexts. And we'll do that as we discuss again together towards the end of our time together. So most of our application we will do then as we discuss with one another, drawn from the biblical principles that we will see. There will be some time for questions, but don't be shy to ask questions or stop me for clarification on anything throughout, okay? Well, I wonder why you chose this seminar. Maybe the other ones were already full. Maybe you've got too hot downstairs and you wanted a bit of a walk and you've come up. Maybe you've come to collect more friends, or maybe it's for another reason. Well, I am delighted that you're here. And I just want to begin by saying that what we're going to look at together is about biblical friendship. One of the aims of this convention is to give biblical understanding and to encourage and inspire women to live that out on a daily basis. And so I just want to acknowledge as we begin that we may not all be followers of Jesus in this room. And if you're not, I'm so thankful that you're here. And it is my prayer that you would see something of the beauty and the greatness of knowing Jesus and living for him. But also to let you know that the principles that we'll seek to apply as we think about this topic of friendship will be about living for Jesus and bringing him glory in and through our friendships. That means showing off his greatness as we enjoy friendship. So we need God's help. So let me lead us in prayer as we begin. God, our Father, we thank you so much that your word is rich and deep and that it equips us for all of life. Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of friendship. Please help us now as we seek to learn and understand more about friendship and how we can bring glory to the Lord Jesus in and through the friendships that you have given us. Father, we depend on you. We need your help. So please guide us in our conversations, communication, and listening. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just to start us off, shout out some quickfire answers. What comes into your head and your mind when you think about or hear friendship? Don't be shy. Shout them out. So when you hear friendship, what do you hear? What do you think? Sorry, did I have one already?
Fun.
Amazing. Coffee. Brilliant. Friends who bring coffee. Support. Thank you. Chatting. Yep.
Confide.
Laughing.
Kindred spirit.
Yeah.
Trust.
Sorry. Trust.
Advice.
Advice. Yep. Sorry? Brilliant. A long time.
Loyalty and understanding.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
Loyalty.
Loyalty. Brilliant. Two final ones.
Sharpening
in each other.
Having something in common.
Having something in common. Brilliant. Thank you.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Yeah. Very important. Again.
Building up.
Yep. Brilliant. Great. You guys are on fire. The other group took a long time. No, I'm joking. Okay, if you've got your little booklet with you, there's three questions at the beginning of it. And in twos or threes or in the little groups, the people immediately around you, I want you to discuss these questions. So what is your experience of friendship? What do you think makes a good friend? And where do you wish you or others were a better friend? So got a couple of minutes just to discuss these questions. Just go for it now. All right, I'm going to cut in there. Sorry to break into your conversations. What a great flow. Okay, let me take some feedback. What did people say? So what is your experience of friendship? Anyone want to share anything? Yep. Yeah. Good. Can be difficult. Yeah.
Needs commitment.
Yep. Brilliant.
So that's really positive. But then it's also like you get bad friendships when you have to try to figure out how you love that person without having your heart broken all over again every time.
Yeah. Brilliant, thank you.
Trust.
Yeah. Friend. It's massive, yeah.
I think some of the best friends you can have are the ones that when you come across an issue, work through it together to become better friends rather than we have a problem, you're not my friend.
Yeah, really helpful, thank you. Okay, what about the second question? What do you think makes a good friend? Loyalty.
Listening well.
Brilliant.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, really helpful. Thank you.
Honesty.
Thank you. Someone you can go to and you're not being judged. Yeah, really good. Yeah.
I think someone who expects you, accepts you, warts and all.
Yeah.
As you are.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Maybe if you have unity in something, like you're like-minded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody can be vulnerable.
Yep, brilliant. Vulnerable.
The ability of correcting you in love.
Yes, yep. So to be able to correct one another in love.
Someone can laugh and have to laugh.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, what about the third question then? Where do you wish you or others perhaps were a better friend?
Commitment.
Commitment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Show that you care for them and love them. Yeah, and you can pray for them as well. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. Really great. Vulnerability, showing vulnerability, yep. Sorry, down the back. Oh, sorry. Karina, just tell me again.
The ability to still be friends even though you haven't seen each other.
Yes. So the ability to still be friends when you haven't seen each other for a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to be able to pick up where you left off. I always think that proves a very good friendship, isn't it? When you can just pick up where you've left off, even if you haven't seen them in over a year. It's really great.
I think one of the challenges is because your life is filled with your family, like if you have a lot of kids and you're working and you go to mind your house, then the time for your friends is eaten away.
Yeah.
So you literally find time
to
do something for your friends.
Yeah. So the challenge to actually
talk to your friends.
Yeah, to have that time for them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, different life stages will mean different things, and yeah, different levels of friendship as well. But that's great. You're really thinking of some really, really good, practical, helpful things in friendship. Well, if you have your little booklet there in front of you, got a few little headings, but more importantly, we have got the scripture references. I would love people to help me out by reading so that you don't get tired of my voice. So I will call out different passages, and if anybody is happy to volunteer to read out verses as we go along, I would really appreciate that, and I'm sure everyone else in the room would as well. So first of all, we're going to think about God reconciling us as friends and pursuing. So friendship is a whole theme that runs through scripture. In the beginning, we walked with God in friendship, but then we walked away, and now God is befriending us again. And this all flows from the heart of who God is, because before there ever was a story, we know that God eternally existed in love, the triune God in perfect relationship and friendship and lacking absolutely nothing. But out of the overflow of his goodness, he created us, and he created us in his image, and he created us for friendship with himself and for friendship with one another. Now, we sadly know that sin has fractured friendships and all of our relationships with God and with one another. But as we continue to walk through scripture, we see how committed God is to restoring and reconciling us and pursuing us as his own. In Genesis 5 and 6, Enoch and Noah walked with God, which is a phrase that's a metaphor for friendship. Enoch and Noah had friendship with God. And then there's Abraham. And in Isaiah 41:8 and in 2 Chronicles 27, God calls Abraham my friend. And then James writes that Abraham was called a friend of God. In Genesis 18, we see Abraham being treated as a friend of God when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, God's plan to befriend many comes through his relationship with the one. So would somebody be happy to read out Genesis 12, verses 1 to 3, please?
The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
Thank you. So it is through Abraham that God will restore true friendship for us. God's plan and mission here is to create a community of friends who know him as the greatest friend. And then there's Moses. We're told that he knew God face to face. Now notice that up to this point in scripture, we see Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Moses as friends of God, as ones who know God personally and intimately, yet God's people as a whole didn't experience this. They never did recover the lost friendship of Eden. And the rest of the Old Testament shows us this all the way through. God's people did not prove to be his faithful friends. Instead, they rebelled from the beginning. They distrusted God, leading to disordered loves and disobedient lives. God offered them friendship, but they rejected it. Yet God continues to move towards them in restoration as we see covenants with his people, and then ultimately and finally in the new covenant at the cross of our Lord Jesus, where divine friendship is ultimately restored and offered to all. Secondly, we are made for friendship with him, with God, and with others. We're going to think about some marks of true and proper biblical friendship here, and then also the need that we all have for human friendship. It's clear that throughout the Bible, friendship is an essential ingredient for the good life. I wonder if you've ever noticed that as you've read through. Just think for a moment how the storyline of scripture is carried along by stories of friendships. Who might come into your mind? Naomi and her Ruth. What about David and his Jonathan? And then Paul with his Timothy, and Jesus with Peter and James and especially John. In each of these, we see deep, real, and true friendship. So come first to Ruth chapter 1. Would someone be happy to read verses 16 and 17 of Ruth 1, please? Thank you very much. Go for it, Trish.
Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you.
Thank you. Naomi had nothing to offer Ruth. And yet Ruth clung to her for two reasons. First, Naomi's God was her God. And second, Naomi was her friend. Ruth was a faithful and dependable friend who loved Naomi. Was doing this easy? No, probably not. But constancy is and will be hard. But I think it reveals much because we can learn how strong a friendship is when we don't have anything to give. And also, we find out what kind of friends we are when a friend can't give anything to us. Well, what about David and Jonathan's friendship then? Before we turn to 1 Samuel, I just want to mention how close friendship is described in Deuteronomy 13, verse 6. It refers to that of a close friend as one who is your own soul, the ESV, suggesting a deep oneness at the core of friendship. And this is exactly what we see at the beginning of David and Jonathan's friendship. So turn first to 1 Samuel 18. Would somebody be happy to read verses 1 to 4? And then the next person finds 1 Samuel 20, verse 17, and then 2 Samuel 1, 26. So 1 Samuel 18, 1 to 4.
Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt.
And 20:17.
And Jonathan made David reaffirm his oath, I would love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself.
Thank you. And 2 Samuel 1, 26, please.
I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Very glad that you be to me. Your love to me was extraordinary, surpassing the love of women.
Here we see an affectionate that is sincere and heartfelt. Jonathan loved David as his own soul and he delighted in him. And then when David was forced away, they kissed each other and wept together. David was crushed in spirit when he heard about Jonathan's death in the last verse that was just read. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more than that of a woman. Jonathan and David model how to express strong affection and admiration between friends. But how does this deep bond form? It happened instantly with Jonathan and David. For others, it develops over time, and for some, it may even take several years. But if we think about what is the essence of friendship, how do we define it? One has said this: friendship is an affectionate bond forged between two people as they journey through life with openness and trust. Now, allow me to expand a little more on the affection, the hugging and weeping. So in Genesis 45, 14 to 15, when Joseph meets with and makes himself known to his brothers, here's what happens. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. Benjamin embraced him, weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterwards, his brothers talked with him. And then in Acts 20, 36 to 38, this is what happens when Paul leaves his dear friends at Ephesus. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was the statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Well, we're going to think a little bit later about what this may mean or look like for us in our culture and our generation now. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to mention Timothy and Paul and their friendship, but have a look for yourself at some point and see what marks of their friendship, what the marks of their friendship are. And maybe what are some of the encouragements and challenges that we can draw from what they model to us? So we're going to think now a little bit about the need for human friendship, the ache. Well, we see a repeated refrain throughout Genesis 1 that says, "And God saw that it was good." And then we reach Genesis 2:18, and the Lord said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So even though Adam had a perfect relationship, friendship with God, and all he needed in the beautiful garden that God had put him in, it wasn't enough. Adam needed human friendship. I think this is wonderfully helpful and so encouraging from Tim Keller. He said this: "Adam was not lonely because he was imperfect, but because he was perfect. The ache for friends is the one ache that is not the result of sin. This is one ache that is part of his perfection. God made us in such a way that we cannot enjoy paradise without friends. God made us in such a way that we cannot enjoy our joy without human friends. Adam had a perfect quiet time 24 hours a day. He never had a dry one. And yet, he needed friends." Now, we could say from one perspective that God is enough, because everything, if everything is taken away but Christ, we still have everything, and that is true. Can someone read out Psalm 73, 25 to 26, please?
"Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever."
Yet Adam in the garden with the great friend and every pleasure he could ever want, but God said, "It is not good." And that is because God made us as creatures, and so we experience him in a way that fits with how he made us. We are human, and so we experience pleasure in human and creaturely ways. We enjoy God in the way that humans enjoy God. And one of those ways that we enjoy him is through his gifts, and chief among them is friendship. And so we honor God when we receive this wonderful gift with gratitude. So we thank God for friendship, we treasure God above friendship, and we enjoy God through friendship. So thirdly, the greatest act of love for friends. Jesus comes into the world as the great friend of sinners, and we see him befriending sinners, walking with sinners, and eating with sinners. Jesus' great mission is restoring people to God. He has come to reconcile that broken friendship between God and man. And we see Jesus doing this through an act of friendship. John 15, 12 to 17. Can someone read those verses, please? Here is what Jesus says. John 15, 12 to 17. Thank you. So here we see the friendship is the greatest expression of love. Verse 13, as Jesus lays down his life for friends. We are included as Jesus' friends. And we are commanded to love one another like this. Jesus says, "Love one another as friends, just as I have loved you as friends." Now look with me at verse 15. This is so deeply profound. More than we realize, no longer servants, but friends, Jesus's friends. This is why he came, to bring us back into relationship with God by laying down his life. So friendship's value and what friends are for. A Scottish pastor said this about the book of Proverbs: there is no book, even in classical literature, which so exalts the idea of friendship and is so anxious to have it truly valued and carefully kept. Now, some of you may have been thinking, are we ever going to get to Proverbs, the great book which speaks so much into the topic of friendship? Well, here we are, and I'm just going to run through quickly and pull out some of the themes, and then after that, we will look and we'll discuss together at some of the practical outworkings as we seek to apply them to ourselves. So if you have your Bible, please open it up at Proverbs. I'd love to call out some references, and if people could read them out fairly quickly, if that's okay, and I will go through them. So as I call out the verses, don't be shy, read them out. I know this is the post-lunch one and people are feeling a bit, but yeah, I'm going to make these work a bit. So first one is Proverbs 12:25, please.
And guide him in his heart where he's gone, makes him glad.
The purpose of friends is to encourage. Encouragement is one of the greatest gifts that we can offer to our friends. Proverbs 13:20.
Walk with the wise and become wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm.
Friends influence us and shape our character way more than we realise. Be careful who you choose. What kind of person do you want to be? I want friends who help me to glorify Jesus. Proverbs 16:28. Spreading secrets and gossip destroys because it breaks trust, which is the foundation of friendship. I know that anything I tell someone, if I know that anything I tell someone may make its way to someone else, I'm not going to share it. True friends keep confidence. They can trust. Sharing information that should stay hidden, whether true or false, even by wrapping it up as a concern or a prayer request, Proverbs says, beware. Proverbs
22:24-25.
We become like those we spend time with. This comes through the power of affections. We become like what we love. When we love our friends, we increasingly love what they love. We're influenced by and we pick up stuff from them. Character is contagious. What kind of friendships are you pursuing? Choose your friends wisely. Proverbs 17:17 and 18:24. If you could read those together, please. And 18:24.
A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
True friendship has constancy. A real friend should never give up, turn away, or desert you. Constant friends make the hard times easier and the easy times better. Measure friendships not by how many we know, but how deeply we go with them. The wise person goes through life side by side with friends. Proverbs 18:1.
An unfriendly man pursues selfish ends and provides all bad government.
Does anyone have the ESV for this one as well? Let me read it in the ESV as well. Thank you. The NIV is good, but the ESV is good as well. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, he breaks out against all sound judgment. So people have reasons for seclusion, but they're not following the path of wisdom. Proverbs and elsewhere in Scripture shows us that the wise life is a journey with and for others, not by and for oneself. Proverbs 18:21.
Love it will eat its fruit.
as oxygen is to our lungs, encouragement is to our souls. This proverb tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when the atmosphere is thick with affirmation, friendships will thrive. But when it's thin or thick with criticism, they will suffer. Proverbs 25:20.
Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, and like vinegar and soda.
Proverbs tells us to be considerate. A cheery smile is not going to relieve a friend's burden. Be wise. And likewise, Proverbs 27:14. Greetings are great, but not too much and too loud, especially before coffee, is just rude. So be thoughtful and considerate. 27:5-6. Thank you. True friends speak with straightforward honesty. We all need correction from time to time. And of course, the best people to give it are our closest friends. A good friend loves enough to give us these faithful wounds, but they will do it kindly. 27:9. This shows us that one of the greatest joys of friendship is earnest counsel. This is literally counsel of the soul or counsel from the heart. Close friends are able to offer one another this type of counsel and unique guidance because they have personal knowledge and a proven love. 27:10.
Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend. And do not go to your brother's house in the day of your family.
Friends are loyal. They stand by you no matter what. Well, if we're going to be people who are faithful to Scripture, then we will have a high view of friendship. We've seen in Proverbs that friendship is a big deal, and it is to be truly valued and carefully kept. And according to the New Testament, friendship is not optional. Let me take you to two final passages. Hebrews 3:12-14. Let me read it. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the end. God's people are urged to encourage and exhort one another. We will only be saved in the end if we hold fast to Christ. And this requires friendship. Perseverance in the faith is a fruit of friendship. And Hebrews 10:24-25. Someone like to read it out if you have it.
And let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
So we are called to lift our eyes to the day. The day of Jesus' return. And so this ought to shape the focus of our relationships. We are to exhort one another every day. Now just consider this. We can't experience this everyday encouragement with every person in our church family. So this gets worked out in friendships. And so friendship is an affectionate bond that deepens between two people as they travel toward the day of Christ with openness and trust. What a joy it's been for me to see how friendship is a thread that is woven through the pages of Scripture. Not only does Jesus restore for us friendship with God, but pursues us himself and brings us into a community with people who are also friends of God. We then have great potential to be friends and to enjoy God through friendship with one another. We also have a mission, that of inviting people to be reconciled to God so that they can enjoy this great friendship too. And as we look out to the future, a new creation awaits us, where we will be forever with our great friend, along with all his friends and our friends now. I'd never thought of it like this before, but our promised future is a world of friendship. Before there ever was a world, there was a friendship with God, and our future eternal life will be a world of friendship, perfect friendship with one another and with the Lord our God at the center of it all. Okay, I have some questions, probably more than we have time to get through. But my aim is that as we discuss these together, that they would be helping us to think through how we can apply this stuff, both to our current and our future friendships. So just pick out whichever ones you want, whichever ones you feel most relevant. We will discuss them, the people around you, twos, threes, or little groups. Feel free to move the chairs, and I will then call us back together. And just before we close. Thank you very much. Okay, I did say at the very beginning, and I want to keep my word, I said that there would be an opportunity for questions. So, and I forgot to ask at the very beginning as well what your questions are, but does anyone have any questions or any comments that people would like to add or to share? We had some really useful and helpful comments in the last session, so really welcome any comments of your experience. So questions or comments, now is your time. Thank you.
I was just wondering about the fact that God has friendship with himself, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that they have a fellowship, don't they, with each other? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is there some way that we can step into that and be part of their fellowship?
Yeah, I think the Bible absolutely shows that, and God has reached out to us, and he is pursuing us as friends. He wants to bring us into relationship and fellowship with himself. And we can know God as our Father. We can know Jesus as our friend. And we know the Holy Spirit, who enables us and helps us to understand all of the truth that we see. And ultimately, God is preparing for himself a people who will be with him forever in the new creation, bringing glory and praise and honor to him. I think we definitely can know that here and now, as we abide and remain in the vine, as we are connected to Jesus, to the Father through Jesus, and absolutely we can experience friendship. I was listening into a few of the groups, and somebody over here really helpfully said, but God is my best friend. He is my ultimate friend, the one I go to. And is that a challenge that I need to include other people as well? So isn't that wonderful to be able to say that God is my best friend? So yeah, really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, something that I've been challenged by lately quite a lot is the balance between Christian friendship, which, you know, obviously I prefer spending time with my Christian friends, to friends with those who are non-Christian.
Yeah.
And who I don't have that deeper connection with. Mm-hmm. And so,
Yeah, that is hard. I think that's a very natural feeling, because as we thought about, we become like what we love, and with our Christian friends, like, our ultimate connection is our relationship with God, and that is wonderful, and that is what we delight in, and that's what we want to continue to grow in. but then God has given us other people and brought other people into our lives so that we can be a witness for him first and foremost, and be a friend to them. And so the prayer in all of our non-Christian friendships would be that we would love them as friends and see them as people made in God's image, but that they are not our projects. That yes, we want to befriend them and we want to show them the love that we have first been shown. We want to be a good friend, but it is going to be awkward. It is going to be hard. And yeah, I think of particular friendship groups, and particularly when you're out with a big group of them and you're the only Christian, it is really hard. But keep on remembering that you have the Spirit of God living in you. You have God as your Father. You depend on him, and he has given you those friends as a gift as well. Another thing I find really hard with my really close non-Christian friends, it's just so painful the more I get to know them and love them and go on praying for them and I don't see them converted. But I need to trust that God has given me these people as gifts in my life, and he's put me there to be a witness for him. And he loves them way more than I do, because he made them in his image and he died for them. And so we continue to entrust them to him. That's such a helpful comment. Thank you very much.
I think God also grows you through that relationship.
Yeah.
Finding love and compassion,
yeah,
and patience as well.
Yeah.
Through those relationships where they're like,
yeah,
this is not the center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just wondering, is that about a connection between our Christian friendships and our non-Christian friendships, in that, you know, Jesus himself said, by this all men will know you're my disciples if you love
them. Yeah.
So actually, our,
yeah,
Christian friendships can help us,
mm-hmm,
in our witness with our non-Christians. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's the, you know, I've heard it said before, it's brilliant to sort of overlap those friendships. So if you can bring non-Christian friends and introduce them to Christian friends as well, so that they can see that connection. Yeah, so helpful.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just to kind of continue building on that. So you said about, which of the problems it is, so this is a Rachel paraphrase, but if, you know, like things on their own are kind of secret, or perhaps, I suppose I found a lot of, or perhaps things within just a non-Christian, sort of away from the Christian visibility, become somewhat secret and dark. And that overlapping of friendship, or honesty within friendship, it helps keep us with our eyes fixed on Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
I can think of times where primary focus has been in a non-Christian environment.
Yep.
Has really been a weight on my spirit.
Mm.
But then to commit to Christian friendships who really guide and point me towards,
yeah,
Christ.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really hard choice. You know what she's talking about, like cutting off a branch?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really hard choice,
yeah,
to commit to,
yep,
to friendship which are guiding and loving and wise at,
yeah,
the same time as,
yeah,
loving non-Christian friends.
Definitely, yeah.
It's
so we need,
balance,
yeah,
you know,
yep,
about Christian,
yeah,
and Christian,
yeah,
friendships.
Yeah.
To love and honor and serve,
mm-hmm,
both, and yet not be,
yeah,
not be weighed down or bed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we need a balance of both, because if we're a Christian, we only ever have non-Christian friends that we need. We need each other to encourage, and Hebrews tells us that and exhorts us. Yeah.
Sorry, can I ask?
One final question. Yes, brilliant.
Well, I was just going to, like, I'm just reminded of a friendship I had with a non-Christian, and, you know, like, oh, should I hide or should I not share these things because they don't appreciate this about God? But like, you don't come alone, you are intertwined, intervined with God.
Yeah.
And it's like, if they're wanting to be friends with you, like, that comes with,
yeah,
the Lord. So you don't,
you
even
are,
need to think about evangelizing that friend, but,
yep,
share with them the friendship,
yeah,
relationship that you have with God.
Yeah.
And if you just treat someone like they are a Christian and just have regular conversations.
Yeah.
Like, I've,
yeah,
seeing two different people come to Christ, like, through,
wow,
that kind of just
amazing,
treating them like a normal human, like, you know.
Wow, that's brilliant, yeah. Wow, so helpful, thank you.
You're just saying something, we were just talking about that here, about, is there a distinction between biblical friendship, which is fellowship, in my view,
yes,
and common grace fellowship, or friendship, because God has given common grace.
Yeah.
In other words, friendship is not just for a believer.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yep.
And that becomes really important between that conversation,
mm-hmm,
that we're working on the same kind of levels, but
yeah,
they are not separated, but there is a distinction, because common grace
yeah.
is beautiful in friendship.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The person is a believer, or I might be a believer,
yeah.
they're not, but I still have a
beautiful yeah.
common grace given by
yeah. given. Yeah, absolutely. And so we glorify God for those friendships. We thank him for the gift of friendship. Yeah, really, really helpful. Thank you. Okay, can I just say one final thing? Don't assume the default. Change in a friendship is possible. So if you have friendships where perhaps you're not used to, or you've never talked about spiritual things, you've never talked together openly about the implications of the Bible, how God is challenging you or encouraging you, cultivate the habit. Break that habit, say to them, maybe it might feel awkward to begin with, admit that and say, oh, this is a bit awkward, but it is possible. So can I encourage you particularly, question 11, sorry, some people didn't realize there was two questions on the back as well. I'm very sorry, there was way too many questions. But particularly, what are the things that we want our friendships to be doing? I want my friendships with people and the friends, I want my friends to be encouraging me, and I want to be someone who is encouraging my friends to be prepared and getting ready for that great and final day when we will see Jesus and be with him forever. Because that is where we're heading. So can I just encourage you and urge you to do that? If it's something that you're not used to doing, or you don't have friendships where you do that, it is possible. I'm going to pray and then let us off into a break. I'm really sorry that we've overran a couple of minutes. Father, thank you for the wonderful gift of friendship. Please help us to be friends who model the friendship that we have received from you. Please help us to build godly, Christ-exalting friendships where we would be those who are exerting and spurring one another on towards that great and wonderful day where we will be with you in perfect friendship forever. Father, thank you for the sweet foretaste that Christian friendships are now. May we continue to look to you and give you all the glory and honor and thanks. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.